I don't know about you, but I imagine I do know a little about you. You're like most of us. Frankly, I am tired of all this. Aren't you? I'm just tired of it. I see it in people all the time that I talk to. Just weary with it. We're ready for it to be done. We don't like any of that stuff on the screen, except maybe NFL football. We don't like any. I mean, we don't like this stuff. We don't like what's going on in our culture, in our society. We don't like the news reports we hear, and we don't like all the bad that we hear over and over again. But here, we are not and refuse to be political. Here, we're concerned about what this is doing to people's faith. This is a place of faith. And if you're a guest today, we want you to know that we target your faith. We want to help your faith grow. We believe the most important thing that goes on in your life is the faith that you embrace, how you hold on to it, because we believe it is what will give you strength for today and a bright hope for tomorrow. It is our faith that is our buttress. It is our faith that is our support. It is our faith that we lean into when the news is horrible, whether it's globally, nationally, or personally. We're concerned about what's going on with people's faith. But as we watch this stuff, we see everything going along. You know, we see the mixed messages. We see the experts and one report after another, and every report seems to be different. We see the, I love this, the scientist. There's a new element been found. We see as we look around the political stuff that's going on and of course, fake news. We see all that. We just kind of nod our head in disgust and in dismay. The mixed messages are crazy. If you tried to sit down and write out and outline and to diagram what news you've heard from the scientists and the experts and the politicians the last 9 months, your mind would go insane. I mean, I've heard all sorts of crazy things, you know. I mean, first we heard masks don't matter, then we heard they do matter, and then we heard they don't matter, and then we heard that you had to wear gloves, and then we heard that gloves don't matter, then we heard you had to wash everything down, even packages where they came in your house, then we heard that wasn't important, that the virus can't live longer than 30 minutes, then we heard it can't live more than 8 hours. It's every day there's a different thing. I heard about a political situation in, I think it was Wisconsin, where they said that if you're in any government meeting, that you had to wear a mask, even if you were virtually doing that from home. Let that sink in a minute. I heard about one report a couple weeks ago that said that there's one guy that he's convinced that the cell phone companies are behind this, that this is being spread through 5G. So check your cell phone. I mean, it's crazy, the stuff that we're hearing. And this is a place of, then there's that phrase, the new normal, whatever that is. But this is a place of good news. So before we go further, I want to share with you a beautiful verse from the book of Psalm, chapter 112 and verse 7. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. It is our faith that keeps us from imploding or from crumbling when bad news comes. It is our trust in the Lord that causes that to happen in our life. But we've all lived this, haven't we? Promises and broken promises. We've had people promise some of you until death do us part. They made a vow before God and before witnesses, and then those vows were broken. We've had people say, I'll never leave you, I'll never walk out on you, and then they turn their back and say they don't want us anymore. You know, the best friends forever that no longer will communicate with us over some seemingly silly issue. Today I want to share with you five unchangeable things. Five things that will not change regardless of what happens in life. Because I think right now we need some things that we can hang our hat on. So here are five things that while the news may change and while the reports may change and while the statistics may change, here are five things that you can take to the bank. They will never change. Number one, the love of God will never change. I love Jeremiah's words in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3. I have loved you with an everlasting love. The truth is there's nothing that you can do that will make God love you more or love you less. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 is so powerful. But God showed his love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were sinners. God did not love us when we were most lovable. That's how most people love us. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of you men, when you were dating your wife, thought she was the most beautiful thing in the world, and you didn't know that she spent 6 hours getting ready for every date? I mean, the fact is, God loved us when we looked our worst. God loved us when we were our worst. God loved us when everything in our life was a mess. God loved us when we could not do anything for ourselves, when we realized that God so loved the world. And I love that verse, the most famous verse in all the Bible. But that verse coupled with this verse adds great strength into our life. The truth is that it doesn't really matter that God loved the world if God didn't love me. It doesn't really matter to you if God loved the world if he didn't love you. And I don't know what's going on in your mind today. Some of you may have gone to church all of your life and you may not yet realize the love that God has for you. He loves you immensely. God's love will never change. You cannot stop it. You cannot cause it to end. You cannot do something that will cause him to stop loving you. Number two, the gospel will never change. The gospel will never change. I want you to look what the Bible says the gospel is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. He says, "Now I remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." In other words, he says, I want you to remember, here's what the gospel is. I've delivered to you of first importance that Jesus died according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Now, there are a lot of other elements of the gospel. But in a nutshell, Paul says, here is that good news. And let me show you a couple of things about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 1 says the word itself means good news. Galatians chapter 1, or Romans chapter 1 says it's God's power to save. And Galatians chapter 1 says that Paul says, I didn't receive it from man, but from God. Now, if you've got your Bible, you might turn to Galatians chapter 1 for just a minute. Because I want us to notice some powerful truths. I want us to dig a little bit deeper into this concept of the gospel not changing. Because the writer of Galatians addresses the gospel not changing head on. I want you to look at what he says. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, he says, I am astonished, he writes to this church in Galatia, this group of people who had come to Jesus in faith, who had believed in the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who's called you from the grace of God, and look at it, and are turning to a different gospel. Gospel cannot change. It is what it is. Paul says, I can't believe there are some of you who are turning to a different gospel. Watch what he says in, which is not another gospel. Not there's another one. But there are some who trouble you, and they want to distort the gospel of Christ. They want to say, you know, you can believe in Jesus and go to heaven, or you can believe in Buddha and go to heaven. You can believe in Christ and go to heaven, or you can follow Muhammad and go to heaven. You can do this, or you can do that. And Paul says they are distorting the gospel of Christ. There are people today that are distorting the gospel of Christ. Look what Paul says about these people who would try to change the gospel. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary, look at that, contrary, gospel contrary to the one that we preached to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say now again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. The gospel is not going to change. There is not another way. I want you to listen very carefully to this. God has no other plan to save your soul. There is no other way. Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection is the only way to God. And as our culture becomes more pluralistic, the truth is there are going to be more and more voices who are going to reject Jesus Christ. God doesn't have a plan B. That's the only plan He has. Number three, I want to suggest to you today that Jesus Christ Himself never changes. The Lord never changes. And I think this is powerful, important for us to realize that Jesus never changes. I want to show you a couple of things that I think are really helpful in this. It's this verse in Hebrews chapter 13 in verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Somewhere along the way, in American Christianity, the mentality developed that you can tag anything with the name of Jesus and it be okay. That you can say, Jesus would want this and it'd be okay. You know, I know that the Bible says God hates divorce, but me and my spouse aren't really getting along, and I know Jesus wants me to be happy. You know, I know the Bible says that God made marriage for a man and a woman, but I desire someone of the same sex, and you know, Jesus would want me to be happy. I want you to listen. Jesus is not nearly as interested in your happiness as He is in your salvation. Anytime somebody says, here's what Jesus would want, and they say anything other than what Jesus said yesterday, they're telling you a lie. He's not going to change. His word's not going to change. His will's not going to change. And His way's not going to change. Jesus will always be the same. The message does not change. This is a song, Larry, that we've sung many times. It's one of my favorite messages. I don't really like the song that much, but the message of this song just haunts me. And in my mind, Larry, it says death and decay and all around I see. I don't know why I changed the words in my mind. It's written in 1857. It's written by a guy named Henry Litt, or Light. And he says, change and decay in all around I see. And don't we see it in everything around us? I mean, you get a new car and you drive down the road, you go to Sonic and get you a drink, and you're going to see death and decay, okay? You get a new house and you're in it for a couple of years and suddenly realize that new product is no longer new. Change is happening all around us. And some of you are going to start getting older. You're going to realize change is happening in your life, whether you want it to or not. And in this great song, Abide With Me, Henry wrote this, O thou that changest not, abide with me. I need someone in my life that's never going to change, and that is Jesus Christ. The gift He gave you, He will not take back. The love He has for you, He will not stop extending. He is going to be the same forever. I love Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 27. I wish we had time to really pull it apart, but look at it. Unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer daily sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for sin once for all when he offered up himself. He only had to do it one time. He never changes. The fourth thing I want to tell you that never changes, and this one's different than the other five, but nonetheless it is vital. The evil of sin is never going to change. Isaiah, who was a priest, a prophet to kings, said in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you that He will not hear. Your sin has separated you from God. Your iniquity has hidden His face. Sin is evil, and the evil of sin is never going to change. Romans chapter 7 is a powerful chapter. I want us to think deeply for just a minute about this chapter. Verse 13. Paul is going to talk about the law, about the old law, and about what it does and about its purpose. And he says, when I try to keep the law perfectly, when I try to do it on my own strength, then I'm brought face to face with my own sin, with my own sinfulness, my own ineffectiveness. Did that which is good become death unto me? God forbid. But sin, watch it, sin that it might be shown to be sin by working death through me through that which is good, that through the commandment sin might become exceeding sinful. That's kind of a little bit of a difficult verse to understand. I want to focus on those last two words, exceeding sinful. Here's what the law did, among other things. This was not the only purpose of the law. But what the law did is the law helped me to realize that I can't be righteous on my own. The law helped me to see that I can't keep that law perfectly. Righteousness doesn't come of myself. And if you want a commentary on that, read Romans chapter 1 and chapter 2. It doesn't matter what method you determine to be good, you're not going to be good by yourself. I can't keep that law. I can't save myself. The law brought me to realization that the only way I could be saved was through Jesus. It brought me to realization of the evil of sin, of how wrong sin was. And the fact is, sin, and perhaps that's even part of the evil of sin. Sin makes us begin to believe that life's all right. You know, I got this under control. I can handle this. Just a little bit. And for some of you today who are sitting here, who are dabbling in sin and you know it, it's not going to work. The truth is, sin convinces us that everything is okay until it becomes abundantly clear in our lives that everything is not okay. The guy that dies of some disease of the liver brought on by a lifetime of drinking, when he was at apex, everything was going great for him. And he would never have thought, this is where this is going to lead. That individual whose marriage is destroyed because they have had an illicit relationship with someone that they weren't married to, a relationship with someone other than their spouse, that individual, when they started flirting with that other person, when they started texting that other person, they never thought their whole world was going to fall apart because of that. That person who loses their kids because God was not obviously first in their life and they just dabbled in religion, but the kids knew it. And their kids hit 18 or 19 or 14 or 15 and stopped believing in God. I'm sorry. When you started skipping church for ball games, when you started laying out because it was easier to watch than to come, when you started spending all your time watching television and none of your time discussing God, when you started allowing language in your house that is not the language Christians should use, when you started, you thought everything was fine, you never knew where it was going to lead. Sin convinces that everything is okay until it is abundantly clear it is not, because sin is deceptive. Sin is, Romans 7, three verses before the verse we looked at where it talks about the law making it clear to me how sinful sin was. He said, sin seizing an opportunity through the commandment deceived me. It made me think I could handle this, but you can't handle it. Sin is evil. Number five, I want you to notice today that the Word of God will never change. God's Word is not going to change. It's never going to go away. Psalm chapter 33, verse 11 says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart to all generations. I want you to see what Jesus does in Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 24. Here in Matthew chapter 5, look at what He says. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota or a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Now, that is not a verse that talks to us about the Word of God. That is a verse that's talking about the old law, the Old Testament law. You see that? Jesus says, until that law is accomplished, it's not going to go away. Paul will write years later in Colossians chapter 3, and he'll say that Jesus put the law to death. He nailed it to the cross by accomplishing it. He completed the law. He finished the law. And when he said on the cross, "It is finished," the law was finished. Jesus said, the law's never going to go away until it's all finished. But I want you to now notice what he says several years later, near the end of his ministry, in Matthew chapter 24. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. What a truth. You see, the law is going to go away, but the Word of God, the words of Christ, His authority, it's never going to go away, ever going to go away. It will last forever. Now, you've heard of the lesson day, and no doubt some of you are thinking, what does this have to do with my life? Those are interesting 5 points, but what relevance is there about this? I mean, how is this going to help me with the test I'm facing tomorrow that I don't know the answers to? How is this going to help me with the financial issue I'm dealing with? How is this going to help me with the fears that are in my heart? How is this going to help me with the relationships that I have in my life? How is this going to make any difference in my life? Hear this clearly. Perhaps now more than ever in our lifetimes, we need an anchor. We need something solid that we can build our faith on. We need something that's not going to go away. We need an anchor in the choppy waters of change that are happening right now. And I don't know what you're dealing with right now in your life. And you're thinking, you know, this doesn't really deal with my life. Yes, it does. These 5 things that we've talked about today, they're the anchors that will get you through it. They're the things that are not going to change when everything else in your life is changing. They are stable and they are steadfast and they're going to be there and they will cause you to have something to hold on to when you've done everything you can. They will allow you to, as I heard one guy say, tie a knot in the rope of faith and just hang on. And that's what some of you need to do right now. We want to serve you today. If today you are not a Christian and you're ready to be a Christian, Jesus is very clear. He said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." On the birthday of the church, Peter spoke. Jesus has said, "I'm going to give to you the keys of the kingdom." On the birthday of the church, Peter took those keys. And he answered the crowd who said, "What do we need to do about our sins?" And he said, "You repent and you be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Today, if you're not a Christian, we urge you to come to Christ and to obey His gospel, to put it into works in your life. And today, if you're a Christian and you've left God, we want to pray with you and for you. If you have a concern today that we can help you with, you can let us know about it. If you have a question, you can text that to us. If we can help you in any way, will you come while we stand and while we sing?